we come in Jesus' name, believing you to enable us to be a blessing to they that are here, and we'll give you the praise forever. Amen. I'm going to that 21st chapter of the Gospel by John and call a text to your mind, and I won't keep you long as we have a baptismal service here in just a few moments, if the Lord tarry. But reading in the third verse of this 21st chapter, we read, Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a fishing. They say unto him, we also go with thee. Note, Simon Peter saith unto them, I go fishing. I wonder, do we feel this is an irreverent descent from the previous chapter, the mighty resurrection chapter? It seems that in some people's minds they would think that the thrills and the wonder have left Peter, and all of that which is common seems to possess him now. Has the wonder faded from his life? Sunrise, has it so quickly come and gone? And yet, is the glory over for Peter? Now you see, this, the best we know, is the time of the resurrection. And there are many, many people that become deeply, deeply involved. If you'll ever notice, on Easter, and especially Easter Sunday morning, you'll get multitudes in the church that you'll never get there again. And they go back to the common things of life and the common ways of life. And it seems that all of the glory and the beauty and the wonder and the marvel of the resurrection leaves them. No, I don't think this was true for Peter. You see, the wonder and the power is to mingle with our everyday life. It's the thing that needs to transfigure life and make it life as it ought to be. You see, most of you, you'll never be in the pulpit like I am. God just hasn't seen fit to do that and to lead you that way. But then you're out there preaching the gospel. And you're out there reaching people that will never be reached by the preacher in the pulpit unless you happen to bring them in. You see, this is always true. And it's as we go back to the common task and take back into the common task the glory of the resurrection that people are impressed with us. There are any number of you that have been a testimony. Here is Webb, and here is Robert, and here we have Daryl, and we go over to this side and person after person. I think Dolores, when she saw Fred, she said it made me lose all of my confidence in the Catholic Church. When she saw the change that came to Fred. You see, dear hearts, we need to bring into our everyday life the glory and the wonder of that which we have seen. I was thinking, as I was thinking along this line, and you've heard me tell the story, some of you, a number of times, how that some 30 years ago I was visited by Brother Oliver Webb, a very precious brother that has gone long since to be with the Lord. a very dear friend of mine, and I took him up on Mount Evans to see the sunrise. And you see, the glory of that sun rising has stayed with me for these 30 years. And you think of it a little bit. We have seen the glorious rising of the Lord Himself. Whether we were there to see the open tomb isn't really necessary. As you saw this precious young woman get up and testify how God had brought her up out of the trash and the gutters of life, you see, it was the resurrected Christ that she saw. And it was Him that brought her where she is. I had a mother to call me this afternoon and tell me about her children that were to be baptized. And of course, she had raised them to be Catholic, and she was a little disturbed that they were coming here to be baptized. But she said to me, there's such a change in them. They're so different. They're not doing the same things, and they're reading their Bibles, and they want to pray, and I don't have the trouble with them anymore. You see, they caught a glimpse of the resurrection, and that resurrection has gone back into the home with them. And they, though they left the church and got away from the church, and they can't be in Bible study all the time and prayer meeting all the time and the meetings all the time. God don't want it that way. You see, God wants you to go out there and be epistles read and known of all men. And so Simon had often gone fishing, and yet never as at this twilight evening that he girts his cloak about him and goes. He went fishing, but the power of the resurrection went with him. You see, he could not get it out of his mind. My Lord is risen. He is risen. And you remember how that after the fishing trip was over, the Lord called to them and said, children, have ye any meat? And now here is the true test of Christian experience. I don't know whether you realize that or not. I'll test a man's Easter experience by the days that follow. And I'll test what a man received from the revival by the way he meets life a little later. And if he attends the prayer meetings and the Bible studies and the personal witnessing, do they keep their glory in the life? Or do we begin to feel that they are a dry and profitless and a dull and unexciting experience? You'll find people that they would rather stay at home and watch something out of Hollywood, or watch a football game or a basketball game or a baseball game than come to a prayer meeting or a Bible study or get into something of this nature. You see, the glory of the resurrection has faded from this type of people. The glory of the revival in which they were saved fades from this type of people, and it becomes dull and unexciting. Christ, you see, must be lived before the world if they are to know He's risen indeed. And it's beautiful to listen to the psalmist as Randy quoted some from the Psalms tonight. As he comes with from communion with the Lord, David said, oh, how I love thy law. Now, he couldn't have had that if he hadn't have been with the resurrected Lord. Oh, you say he wasn't raised at that time. Well, he hadn't gone into the tomb at that time. He was up there all right. And then he said, thy statutes have become my songs, and thy word is like honey to my taste. You see, this becomes your life. The little lady expressed it. I just
hunger. I remember when Arlene was first saved and filled. I think she's back there. You'd go in the restaurant and she'd be sitting there reading her Bible. She just wanted to live with the Bible and with the Word of God. You see, it's a tragedy when such things fade from our lives and when we begin to forget who we are. We say the Lord is risen indeed. Well, has He? We have seen the Lord, we say. Well, have we? He hath appeared to Simeon. Well, has He? Then there will be evidence when He goes back to the beach, when He goes and gets out His fishing nets, when He begins to go and meet His fellow man. The evidence, if Peter has seen the Lord, if he can say the Lord is risen, if he can say he is risen indeed, we've seen him, oh yes, we've seen him, he's out of the tomb. Then when old Peter gets out that fishing net, he shouldn't be the same old cursing Peter that used to handle the nets. He shouldn't be the same cheat. He shouldn't be the same slave driver. He shouldn't be the same harsh and hard man. This ought to always be true when the resurrection comes into our lives. Now, Peter could have put on his holiday attire and said, the Lord may come, and so I'm going to have to watch for him, and I better not go fishing. He might come while I'm gone. No, I'll tell you, he girded on his fishing coat and he said, I'm going to occupy until he comes. Amen. You see, this is what Christianity needs to realize. The Lord said, occupy till I come. Someone came up to me and said, well, Brother Hill, well, they were in my office. Well, it was our CPI. And he was in the office, and he said, well, Brother Hill, if you think the Lord's coming, what are you building that over there for? I said, if I thought he was coming today, I'd go right on with what I'm doing. Amen. You see, precious hearts, the coming of the Lord isn't going to necessarily to be to that one who is on their knees all the time. There is work to be done. There are those things that we must carry on with. I remember years ago, there was a family, and I won't mention the name because it might get back to them. He got saved, filled with the Spirit. They had been Catholic people. They were Polish Catholic people. And that's as close as I'm going to get to who he was. And Brother Hines back there was pretty close to him. And so I won't get any closer than that. And he got saved and filled with the Spirit. And then he just took the attitude that God would feed him and God would take care of him. And God did let a bakery truck turn over at his door one morning and spill all the bakery goods out in front of them when his little children were about to starve. But you see, God expected him to get out and occupy till he came. And God don't have lazy drones sitting around in his will. Did you know that? If God gets in your life, He'll put an energy in your life. He'll cause you to want to do the things that will be occupying until He comes. And so when the morning light broke out of the misty gray of the common day, Peter heard a voice. Children, have you any meat? You see, he heard that voice. What are we going to hear when the Lord comes? A voice. You see, he'd been out fishing. He'd been out taking care of the task. And he didn't miss the Lord when he came. And so Easter was repeated to those who were occupying until he come. I think many an Easter has faded just because Christians left their duty, which was both to man and to God. There is a duty that we have. I see sometimes parents that if, I see parents do something sometimes that it can just provoke me. I'll see parents that will just go and leave someone else to take the responsibility of their children and things of this nature. But bless your heart, you get this straight. If you go with God, you see, Paul, that great apostle Paul, that man who was the greatest natural man, doubtless, that ever lived. There will never be another mortal man like the apostle Paul. He had a place that no other man has ever had or will ever have apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul himself went from place to place and used his hands not only to make a living for himself when necessary, but for others that were in his party. Paul was never too good to use his hands in this way. And so we here see the duty that is to man and to God. And there, you see, is a dry, dusty road to travel for Peter. And there is a cross to bear for Christ. And there is a sacrifice that we need to make for him. And at the end of the road, we'll meet the risen Lord. And you rest assured we will. But so many put their affections on the faded and the judged and the profitless world, while their boat stands idly by, and while doubts and fears and troubles oppress their soul, and the twilight of a deepening unbelief grips their soul. You've seen this, and I've seen this over the years. I've watched men and women that would not take a hold of life. And they, just as I say, once they got saved, why, that's all they had to think about. And they, I remember dear Brother Foster, June's grandfather, such a dear man. And he was telling about some folk in the meeting that he had known for many years. And he said they'd just flit here and they'd flit there and they'd flit the other place. And they said one night to him, said, "Well, Brother Foster, we're just as free as a bird." But he said, "You know, a bird does need a roost." And that's about the fact. You see, you need a place to anchor your soul. You need a place where you can work. You need a place where your testimony will have an effect on people. And so, while this is true, we need to jump in our boat and perform the first task that presents itself. And you'll see him again. The Easter light will not burn in the midst of your neglected task and your shunned duties. Did you know that? He waits for you at the end of the trying road of up Calvary. Simon Peter saith unto them, "I go fishing." And they say unto him, "We're going to go with you." What do you think about it? I've been fishing for a good number of years. God told me years ago, and I'll make you fishers of men. And I've had a lot of folks since that time say, "We're going with you, Brother Hill." And you see the effects of it. And how wonderful it is to fish for God. To fish for the souls of men. We're in the greatest business that there is. And how sweet and how precious. We think again of our precious brother Bob Wood. And all of the things that he's had and seen, experienced in the past several years. As the millions rolled in. But you see, there's little of that he cares to really treasure tonight.
You can tell as he prayed this morning that he's looking at the other side. How wonderful it is to be ready. How wonderful it is to go out there and lift your eyes to a harvest that is ripe, a harvest that is going down. I've been looking for the Lord to come. And I'll say this, I just from year to year can't believe that he'll tarry another one. And yet if he tarries another one, by the grace of God, he'll find me fishing. And when we come out at the long end of the dark night, he'll be waiting on the shore. And we'll hear his voice, "Children, have you any meat?" You notice he was the one that prepared that meal. And they durst not ask him about it. Isn't it a wonderful thing? And he'll be waiting for us on the shore with a prepared meal that will be satisfying forever and ever. One day soon we'll come off this old sea that we're fishing in, and we'll go to be with him forever. I'd like to see you go along when that time comes. But you see, there are certain decisions you do have to make. There are certain claims you alone can lay a hold of. You have to stake your stakes on the claims if you want them. The devil will do everything he can to push you away from them. But thank God you can go with God. Shall we pray? Father, as we come to this close of this service tonight, we think of the hearts and the lives that have already found you precious in the resurrected Lord. But Father, no doubt there are those here tonight that don't know you. They don't really know that Christ is out of the tomb. They've heard about it, but they don't know the reality of it. We pray at this time that you will grip their hearts. Cause them to yield to you, and we'll give you the praise in Jesus' name.